Looking for your next TV show or movie to binge? Well, buckle up, grab the remote, and settle into your couch for this special edition of Crossing the Streams. We're here to help you tune in and get the most out of those 50 monthly streaming channels you're currently paying for. So without any further ado, here's your host of Crossing the Streams, Jeff Dwoskin.
Heyo, it is I, Jeff Dwoskin, your host of Classic Conversations and your guide through this bonus episode of Crossing the Streams. What is Crossing the Streams? Glad you asked. Crossing the Streams answers the universal question, hey, I just binge-watched something, what should I binge-watch now? Well, guess what? You've come to the right place. We got you covered. Over 105 hours of streaming suggestions on our YouTube channel. Don't have time for that? No worries. You've come to the right place. This bonus episode is going to beam three segments from three of our live shows right into your ears. Episode 102, 64, and 88. That's right. We have Project Azorian, RRR, and Tulsa Kings all coming at you in this episode. We're going to kick things off with Marcy Stifter, our latest permanent host on Crossing the Streams. She's going to take us through Tulsa King. Take it away, Marcy. All right, let's keep the Stallone.
He's 77 now, by the way.
I wonder what he's up to.
He still looks better than all of us.
I wonder what he's up to these days.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
There he is. So yes. I'm going to say for the first time in my life, I am noticing Sylvester Stallone. I think that he is just amazing in this role. The Tulsa King is so fun. So I'll tell you, Sylvester Stallone, love that he's on this on television. I don't know if this is his first television show. Should have looked that up. But it's a part of Taylor Sheridan's, Yellowstone. Taylor Sheridan is your guy who writes, you know, the Yellowstone or 1883, 1923, the creator. And he's brought us a lot of stuff, actually. I just learned he was actually on Sons of Anarchy. So he's behind Tulsa King, but he's not writing it. A Sopranos writer is writing that. I have that written down here too. So Sylvester Stallone is, his name is Dwight the General Manfredi. Hmm. He's in prison for 25 years for not being a snitch. Goes to prison for 25 years and comes out and the mob boss is like, not having it. He's not into him. He's like, you got to go to Tulsa and you can start up over there. And they just like basically get rid of him. And he goes and he sets up shop. The first place he walks into to introduce himself and let him know that he's a mobster is a dispensary in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is great. That is so awesome. He walks into this weed store and is like, I'm Dwight the General and you need my protection. And it's it's Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley. And that is Martin Starr. And if you watch Silicon Valley, you love Guilfoyle. So it's so fun that he's got this dispensary. It's like, it's shoot them up, horses.
Shoot them up.
New York mob. And my favorite part is Stacy, a little bit of a love interest, is Andrea Savage. And the first time I was on your show, I talked about episodes. And she had a great episodes. She used to do I'm Sorry. She's a comedian. She's funny. She writes comedy and she plays his love interest. And I've always been a big fan of hers. I really love the show. We just finished it and they are definitely have given them a season two. It's got a lot of good feedback from us bingers.
So can I ask a question about Stallone's character? Is he the gangster with the heart of gold guy?
Yes.
He is. Okay. And,
I mean, like,
we want to love about him.
Yes. He looks good. I was going to say, now I looked up, it said it was 76, but you know, he's 76, 77. He looks great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He really does.
Surgery has calmed down a little bit. You know, he looks good right now.
Down.
It's calmed down. You know, sometimes we're like, ooh, you know, so no, he looks good. And it's kind of like what you're talking about with the Rocky Balboa movie. You know, he's just got to give a lesson or tell a story. And it's entertaining and it's fun. And it's just, I don't know, it's a total hit. I've enjoyed the season. We watched that pretty fast. So it has been a lot of fun.
I'm going to watch it on your recommendation, Marcy.
Please,
I'm penciling it in.
Yes. What is it on? What is it on? Where can you watch it?
Okay, so Paramount Plus. I gotta say, that's what it's on. And Paramount Plus has got all these Taylor Sheridan shows, most of them. And that's where you want to see your 1883 or 1923. And I'm watching a lot of stuff on Paramount Plus right now. Thank you, Aaron. We all trade username and password, so he makes it possible, and I'm glad he's here. Oh. So
that's so funny. So it's nine episodes.
Lawbreakers.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, you know who else is in it?
The Buddy guy R like, says cool.
The bad guy, Richard Koster. He's an evil. Did you guys ever see Happy on like the Sci-Fi Channel with the Pat Oswalt
and the unicorn?
Yeah, the unicorn. That was a great show. We'll have to talk about that
with
time.
Patton Oswalt
is the voice of the imaginary friend, and it's a unicorn. Okay. But the same guy plays, you know, the evil bad guy that comes head to head with Dwight, the general, you know, Sylvester Stallone. And he's also the bad guy in the show Happy. And he's an evil, you know, he will always play the bad guy. Let's just say
he plays bad very well.
I'm definitely going to watch. I have to watch Marcy's podcast.
Wow. you don't have me on your podcast.
What's your brother's podcast?
Yeah.
Plug it, Aaron. It's a Fisher. What do you call your podcast now? My brother does Bruce Springsteen shows. I kind of talked about one once before.
Well, what do you mean? He sings?
No, he edits them. I don't know.
I see.
More attention to my family. It is actually really cool. He's actually done a Billy Joel show. He did. I should probably said too much. He'll fill you in. I'm sure he's typing right now.
I've had Billy Van Zandt on my show.
Yes, I bet you anything my brother watched that on your conversations with.
I have to make a podcast so I can have Jeff plug my... Jerry's an amazing artist. So you can head over to Jerry's Instagram, buy his art. It's killer stuff.
Oh, okay, for sure.
So he's really good. Cool. Tulsa Kings, you nailed it. You nailed it.
I'm in.
You think? I like really this time I did work today. Like,
Marcy's like, I gotta be more prepared.
Last week I was like, oh, it's just really good. You should watch it.
We used to do that, Marcy. Now we're like, yeah.
I'm like, they want me prepared.
All right, that was Tulsa King, one of the many amazing Taylor Sheridan shows. So check that out. It's awesome. And as you heard, Sylvester Stallone, looking good. All right, up next is RRR. Zach Wiseman's going to take us through this. This is from live episode 88. Take it away, Zach. We're going to kick things off with RRR. And we're going to give it to Zach. We were talking and I said, hey, Zach, what show you want to do? He goes, TV or movie? I go, either. And he goes, RRR. And I read it because I know Zach. I read it as like he didn't like my answer. Either one, dude. He's like, no.
Okay. So as some people know, I have a fascination with consuming every bit of content I could possibly find and then trying to get my friends to watch it so that we have something in common, and we never do. But one thing popped up to me a couple weeks ago, and I tell you, it has consumed at least a full year of my life since this came out 2 weeks ago, and this is RRR. Now, I'm pretty sure it stands for Rise, Revolt, and Revolution. I'm not 100% sure, because sometimes it stands for fire and water as well. But this came out this year, 2022. Now, the thing about this is the first Tollywood movie I've ever seen. And I didn't know what that was, so I had to do a little bit of research. And Tollywood is actually an Indian style of Telugu language. So it's specific to not just Bollywood. It's specific to, it's with a CK, so I guess we got a drink. It's specific to that religion and that language as well. Now, what the point of this story is, this is a fictitious story about two legendary revolutionaries and their journey away from home before they started fighting for their own country in 1920. So this is set in the early 1920s, so it is a period piece. This movie, immediately, you can see where the budget goes. There's so much money that is spent in this thing. The first five scenes, this movie's over 3 hours long. And no joke, I've watched this 7 times in the last week. Michael Colby can attest to it. Every single time I watch it, I tell him, please watch it with me. Yeah, even does, Dylan.
And I never watch it.
Dylan, I actually had to fake make up a podcast to get Dylan to stream with me so I could start watching this movie with him. I watched it once with my daughter, and she took this movie to her girlfriend's house and watched it immediately after that. Her girlfriend wanted to watch it with me to see what I thought. Now, this story revolves around pretty much two men, right? One man is just on this hunt to get a promotion within the British military right while partition's going on. So real stuff is real bad over there. White people are doing some pretty icky things. And it starts off why this kind of royalty steals a woman, a young girl, out of a village. It just takes her because of the art that she wants. A white woman takes a village girl, and they're like, look, you got to bring this girl back or else the shepherd of this flock is going to come get you. So now they have this jungle god that is coming to find this girl to bring her back to her village, all while this man is trying to promote himself up. So now they have this just a specimen of a man. This is one of the most gorgeous men I've ever seen in my entire life. His name is Ram. And what he does is he is just the most badass man known to man, because he needs a raise so that he can fulfill his destiny, which is, I'm not going to spoil it. 2.5 hours later, you learn his backstory, and it's riveting because the whole time you're like, well, why is he beating up his own people? Why is he being a traitor? Why is he so fucking beautiful? Who knows? But I'll tell you why, because once he meets his best friend, Beam, who is the Wood Guardian, they become just the most bestest of friends. And they join up while saving a child underneath a burning bridge. And then they go on and they ride each other's shoulders like best friends should. And then they find out that they have the same common goal. And once they unite, then they realize that they're both just godly men and they have to fight down raging. Did I say raging? It is raging. Something was raging. Something is constantly raging every time I watch. Anyway, it's just a cool movie. And in true Bollywood and Tollywood style, it has amazing special effects. The very first thing you see is no wolves or bears or tigers were harmed in making this movie. And you're like, all right, that's cool. I don't know why that's there. You have quickly just a man taking on 500 men to arrest one person. Then it cuts to a man trying to capture a wolf. It ends up being a tiger instead. And then you have just this beautiful love story where people can't really understand each other. But God damn it, friendship and sexy men have to prevail. And that's how this is. 3 hours later, you have a man on top of another man while they're shooting bow and arrow and spears at people. And it is very cool. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Very cool. I have never been more entertained by a movie. I've never left a movie with a cooler, more positive message than this. I've never texted so many people and say, please watch this movie because this is impressive. It would be very easy for Netflix or Hollywood to have bought the rights to this and whitewashed it and changed up a little bit. But keeping it within this region, within this language is gorgeous. There's a cool dance number in the middle, which brings out that kind of Bollywood feel where they really show the people around how cool dancers they are as best friends. It literally has everything that anybody could want in a movie and still be interesting for over 3 hours. It is a stunning work of art. Really, I cannot watch. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's real. It's not animation, right? This is real.
No, it's live action. Yeah. Live action. Okay. Now, some of the CGI does get a little weird. You know, when you have like tigers running around stuff, it does get a little bit weird. But if you just stay in the story, and because it has that Tollywood, Bollywood feel, they're able to get away with more. You know, if it's a Hollywood movie and like somebody jumps like, you know, 1,000 feet, it just feels kind of weird. But because this is set in this world, they're allowed to get away with more fantastical elements, which just to me brings so much more character. Watching one man take on 1,000 people just to save a family, while one man is taking on 1,000 different people to save his family. And then they become, oh, bestest of friends. And super great. Super, super duper great.
I'm looking at the trailer right now and it seems it seems the whole budget went into magnificent mustaches.
You know, to this day and age, it is hard to pull off both a side part and a mustache. Ron gets a side part. He does a pretty good job. I've seen better. I've seen a lot worse. But for him to pull off that thick mustache could not work. No one would talk to him. But somehow this movie pulls off multiple men, multiple side parts, multiple thick mustaches, multiple of Zach's eyes on TV all time.
All right. This sounds fascinating. It's you're convincing me to watch.
If you watch a trailer, movie. I promise you, if you watch a trailer, you will not turn it to something else. You will have to just go, okay, I got to see what this is. I have to watch this.
It looks like one of those Ang Lee movies with people kind flying. Of.
And the cool thing is that there's a couple people that you will recognize. So it has Ray Diva, whatever the one Ray guy is, who was the Punisher, who was also in the show Rome. I think his name's Ray Stevens, I'm not sure about that. But he's like one of the main antagonists in this. So you have, you know, big stars that you can, that you notice and visualize, all while telling this beautiful story about a culture or religion I had no idea about, but whoa.
I feel like we should end every segment with, is Dwayne Johnson in it? Should he been in it? Should I
Dwayne
watch Dwayne Johnson in it?
Dwayne Johnson would be the ugliest man in this movie. He would be the smallest man in this movie, and he'd probably get beat up. I mean, these guys. Whoa, these guys. Let me tell you about these guys.
I think it kind of did.
Yeah. They're like Lou Ferrigno type guys or something.
I mean, there's a lot of chest hair, a lot of thigh muscles. You know, I'm probably just going to go watch it right now.
Incredible Hulk.
Do you need me for anything else?
I think we're good.
No, I'm kidding. I'll hang around. But seriously, this is one of the most, you know, the Marvel movies are dipping. They're getting boring. You don't really have a lot of Hollywood things coming out anymore. And this thing has a budget. Like the second comes on, you're like, wow, there's so much just put into this. And it's a passionate movie because they knew that they were trying to sell it to Netflix, to the United States. So it is all in all a very packed and great movie.
All right. I think Zach liked that movie. And just for the record, he was telling you to go see that last year. It just won the Oscar for Best Original Song at the Academy Awards this past week. So there you go. Crossing the Streams has the pulse on all future things Oscar. All right. Now we're going to wrap things up from live episode 64, Project Azorian. If you love tales of espionage, you're going to love this one. Take it away, Ron Lippitt. Project Azorian.
I need to know about this.
I gotta ask, was that Howard Cosell a moment ago, Bob?
That was my Howard, yeah.
Thank you. You're nailing the voice over today.
It's Howard Cosell.
Very good.
Now I want to do my review in Howard Cosell's voice. Yeah. I don't have
Project.
Sorry. So are you guys familiar with this? Are you guys familiar with the story?
Not at all.
I want to know about this.
Is it a car called Azorian?
I was so excited to talk about this because this was a pure algorithm review from Amazon Prime. They're learning my shit as much as Netflix is, apparently. Mm. And I just love documentaries, well thought out documentaries, historical ones. And this thing is the most amazing story. I don't know how this has not been made into a major motion picture, because all of it is 100% true. And that is this. In 1968, a Soviet nuclear submarine had a major event happen on the submarine, and it sank in 16,000 feet of water in the North Pacific, about 1,000 miles northeast of Hawaii. At the time, the Soviets scoured around to find what happened to the submarine. They thought it broke up. They thought maybe it was hit by something. They weren't sure. Then they figured out that this thing sank to the bottom of the ocean, and there's no way we're ever going to find it. They're going to find it. We're never going to find it. No one's going to ever find this thing again. And they basically went about their business, not knowing that in 1968, the United States had just installed the SOSUS warning nets, which I don't know if you guys know what those are, but those are listening microphones in the oceans, which were at the height of the Cold War. And they were able to triangulate fairly accurately where this somewhat meteorological sounding event happened, of the submarine blowing up and sinking to the bottom. And long story short, they were able to get some subs with some really sophisticated equipment in the exact area where they thought it might be. And sure enough, there was the sub at the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
And Project Azorian was launched in 1968. And they spent 6 years building a cover story with the help of Howard Hughes, of all people. Howard Hughes, who was a famous, you know, first off, he was the richest man in the world, but he was also famous for funding mineral mining types of journeys for major companies. And he funded, or at least gave his name to the appearance of funding, this Project Azorian, which was the building of this mega mining ship that took forever to build, but they got this thing out to the Pacific. And what no one knew, what not the press knew, not anybody in the United States knew, not certainly not the Soviets knew, was that glued to the underside of this freaking ship was a massive crane and clamp-like mechanism that they were physically going to pull this submarine up from the bottom of the ocean using the best of technology that was available in 1974, which is when this thing happened. And to keep this thing secret, and to keep this thing, the Soviets were aware that something was going on. They were suspicious immediately, but they couldn't prove it. It was a mining vessel. Very clearly it was a mining vessel, but it had been custom built to look like a mining vessel, but it surely was not a mining vessel.
Now, Ron, sorry to cut you off for real quick, because I've been following this great. 1968 is when it blows up.
Yep.
And then in 1974, which you just mentioned, is when they found it.
Six years it took to build the cover story and then build the ship that that it was required to get this thing. Now, realize in 1968, at the time, the Soviets were our peers and maybe even our betters when it came to nuclear submarines. There was immense amount of intelligence on that submarine. And believe me, the United States wanted every bit of it. They were willing to do whatever it took under the cover of darkness or whatever was required to get this submarine back to the United States intact and to be able to pull it apart and study it. So as I'm watching this documentary, it's an hour and change on Amazon Prime, I couldn't believe I'd never heard the story before. And the reason why we'd never heard the story before is that the Project Azorian, it had just become declassified just in the last year or two. And so they built this thing, and I don't want to ruin the story. They had a major event happen in trying to get the submarine back up to the surface. Mm. It did not go exactly as planned. And so it wasn't a complete success, but it was enough of a success that it changed the global military landscape between the United States and Russia, because they were pretty certain, the Russians were, that we got some of it. And that was clearly important to them. So anyway, the documentary is intense. It is wonderfully built.
Timely.
It explains in great detail.
When did this movie come out?
It's not. It's a documentary, so it's not a movie.
Sorry.
But it just came out, I think, a year ago. And then they added
K-129. That is fascinating. Never heard of that.
So what I think, Ron, is I was looking it up on IMDb just so I could see what was up. It seems that this came out in 2010.
Yes.
As a TV movie called Azorian, The Raising of the K-129.
It's true.
It looks like it's been rebranded, because it was Michael White is the director writer of the 2010 one.
So what's different, Jeff?
Photo.
You're right. But what's different about it is that they have now, this documentary is with people that were on the ship. Was called the Glomar Explorer. That's what they called it at the time.
Yes.
At the time, it was the Hughes Global Explorer, the Howard Hughes Global Explorer. The reason why it has changed and why this new documentary is so incredibly compelling is it's with the engineers and the project managers that were actually on the ship making this thing happen, talking about every step, and something at the time it was considered to be one of the biggest, most complex engineering feats in American history. And when you think about that in the context of building the Mackinac Bridge or building the Empire State Building or building the Tennessee Valley Authority or, you know, some of these immense projects, Hoover Dam, and they're calling this the most immense engineering feat in American history. It really is, puts it in perspective how big this thing was. But it really is, it's intense. And if you're into the detail of hearing how this thing not just was done, but all the steps that had to be taken with private business and with the CIA and with Howard Hughes and with the oceanographic community, just to make this story believable to the Russians and to our press and to just the world, it's an incredible feat.
I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah,
this is fantastic.
I love that stuff. You say you love this movie, then you need to read Blind Man's Bluff.
I've heard of Blind Man's Bluff. Oh, yeah.
So it's the best. I mean, true stories, it's this thick, and it's all about the espionage that went back and forth between the United States and the Soviet Union, submarine warfare, the shit we pulled on them, and the thing you just won't believe the kinds of things we did, like literally taking a submarine up the Volga River. Right. What?
Yeah.
Tapping their phone cable lines under, their land.
They
just
do
crazy.
I mean, I will say this, you know, especially in the 60s and 70s, and maybe it's still true today, it does seem that the intelligence communities of that era were so bold with the things that they were willing to attempt. I mean, in Israel is famous for that in the 70s, but the United States, I think, has their own, and certainly the Soviets, I believe, have some amazing stories of what they were able to accomplish right under our noses. Mm-hmm. This is a great story. I kept thinking as I was watching it, you know, I'm a big fan of Argo, even though, as we've already
talked about,
I think Ben Affleck's a terrible actor. But I think Argo is a great movie, and it does apparently tell the story very well of what the CIA was, concocted and pulled off right under Iran's nose. So this did feel a little like Argo, only 10 times more sophisticated, more complex, more ways for it to go wrong. They ran the gauntlet and managed to get through the other side, mostly successful. So please watch it. I hope you guys enjoy this. You will. It's on Amazon Prime.
Good call on that.
I assume you're already rushing out to watch that one. You got a lot to watch. A lot of great suggestions this week. Tulsa King, RRR, and Project Azorian. I expect by this point you're already on your couch. Get that comfy spot going. Grab the remote. Cross your own streams. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this special edition of Crossing the Streams. Visit us on YouTube for full episodes. And catch us live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now turn this off and go watch some TV. And don't forget to tell your family you'll be busy for a while.